I love the benefits of functional mushrooms, but finding a way to incorporate them into my wellness plan can be time-consuming and, frankly, kind of unappetizing. That's why the founders of Alice spent so much time and thought into creating a fun and delicious way to consume them. With the motto, "Indulge, don't endure," the female-founded brand combines the best organic, fruiting body mushrooms with the best nootropics and adaptogens. Not only are Alice mushroom chocolates, that's right, I said chocolates, packaged in a way that makes getting your daily dose of mushrooms easy, but their chocolates are formulated specifically to enhance different moments in your day, with their nightcap chocolate for sleep and their brainstorm chocolate for focus and energy. Listeners can get 20% off using the code YOURHIGHNESS when they visit alicemushrooms.com. That's code YOURHIGHNESS at alicemushrooms.com. Welcome to Your Highness Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Crash, and I am joined by my lovely co-host today, JR Crash. How are you doing today, JR?
Doing awesome. Happy to be here.
I guess I could have let you introduce yourself.
But no, I like the introduction. It's nice.
Yeah, so if you are new to the show, JR is both my partner in podcasting and in life, and he is the reason why this show sounds so good. So anyway, we're going to start this episode, as we do every episode, with our fave pot, fave not pot, which means we're going to talk about our favorite cannabis-related and non-cannabis-related items at the moment. And I'm going to start with my fave pot, JR. It might be a little bit of a stretch because it's not technically a cannabis item, but if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, first of all, thank you. And second of all, you know that I like to stretch it a little bit. So my fave pot right now is a bit of a self-promotion. We would really love it if people would subscribe to our Substack, Your Highness Media Newsletter. That's where you find out about everything that we're doing, including in-person events, which we are having one soon at the end of October. So if you are in the Maryland area, particularly the Harford County, Maryland area, unless you want to take the hike, which, hey, you know what? I will be very happy and I'll make sure that you're rewarded for that hike. So anyway, this is all to say, subscribe to Your Highness Media Newsletter for all of the information about our shows and events and pretty much anything else that I feel like posting about. But I promise you, you won't be bored. What's your fave pot right now, JR?
I'm actually going to go with a strain. It's called Blue Flame, and it is actually, it's a cross between Super Blue Dream and Inferno Haze. I got the opportunity to try this last week, and actually really very much enjoyed it. It gave a very like uplifting, yet creative and euphoric kind of feel to it, but it wasn't too intense. It didn't kind of spiral me out into like that anxiety or paranoia that a lot of times comes with like that focused creativity. With that, you know, it's because of the terpene profile, you know, mostly it's dominant with a myrcene, which even though it's very rich in pinene, which gives that real solid focus quality, the myrcene helps pull it back so it doesn't start spiraling. And then it's also coupled with the third highest terpene profile of beta-caryophyllene, that beta-caryophyllene really steering those thoughts into a positive, more jubilant direction to keep you from focusing on anything that's like too intense for you at that moment that could cause you to kind of spiral into anxiety. So if you are in an area and they have the availability of the strain Blue Flame, I definitely recommend that you give it a try, because especially if you are someone that's creative and maybe having a little bit of a writer's block or creative block, it's something that could really kind of help bounce you out of that.
I definitely have to try that, for sure.
You have.
Oh, I have?
You have tried it.
Did I like it?
You did. You said, I like this.
Oh.
Yeah. You all actually right. tried it before me.
Well, this just illustrates the fact that I do not keep a journal about what I consume, as I have told people to do in the past. So this is one of those me, also me situations where I'm contradicting myself, in case people aren't understanding what I mean by that, because it's an inside joke.
Yeah. Just an inside joke between us. They don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So just to explain it a little more, if you know that meme, is it a meme or a GIF?
It's a meme. GIF? It's not moving.
It's not moving. The meme where there is a person who's like doing one thing and then they say me, and then it's like the complete opposite of that, and it says also me. I'm pretty much the physical embodiment of that. Embodiment of that.
Yes.
I am that personified. Right? So that's what we're trying to say. All right. So moving on to the fave not pot. My fave not pot right now is a show on Hulu called The Other Black Girl. And it is both a thriller and a comedy, which I think we can both attest to it being both of those things. It's like yes. both kind of scary. I mean, not scary, but it is a thriller. It's a mystery. It's a comedy. It's extremely well written and well acted. Everyone in it does a phenomenal job. Garcelle Bouvet. I know I'm mispronouncing her name. She's in it. A bunch of other people are in it as well. It's a star-studded cast, and I highly recommend it. I don't want to say too much about it because I feel like I'll give it away if I try to explain the show. But yes, that is my fave not pot right now, and you can check it out on Hulu. So what is your fave not pot right now, JR?
I'm actually going to go with a movie that we watched last night, actually, as a matter of fact. It's spooky season. It's my favorite season. It's chilly. I got my flannels. The pumpkin spice is flowing, and the spooky movies are a go. And, you know, while I very much love the genre of horror, Diana, not so much. So I get really excited when we find something that can actually be good for both of us. And that's what we watched last night. It was called Totally Killer. It was on Amazon Prime. And I got to tell you, I need to make sure that I said, yes, it is called Totally Killer. I was trying to kill time there and it just wasn't working. But it was an awesome, fun blend of comedy with that typical 80s kind of slasher horror with a lot of fun time travel involved, in which it had a lot of fun playing on things like showing things happening in the past and then showing how it was affecting in the future right at that moment instead of waiting till the end. It was just really a lot of fun. It was like the hot tub time machine, except
way more cleverly done,
and then with the serial killer. So though it may not be like the most horrific thing you've ever seen in your entire life, to find something that me as a horror fanatic and Diana as someone who dislikes horror, you know, but being able to sit down and watch it together and both enjoy it so that she's not just like sitting there pretending to enjoy it, you know, but actually laughing at it and having fun with it, it was really great. So it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Totally Killer, and I definitely recommend checking it out.
Well, I don't dislike all horror.
You like the Halloweens. You watch the Halloweens with me.
I like things that are phony. Like, I can say, okay, that won't happen in real life. But as we know, if it's something that can be even remotely applied to real life, it terrorizes me. And I will say it again, I think that Complicit is the scariest movie out there. All right. So, anyway.
Do a whole new podcast just on Complicit.
No, I can't. I can't. I can't even think about that movie anymore. I mean, okay.
You think about it like every day. Every day you bring up that movie. We watched it like 8 years ago.
It haunts me. And it was not marked as a thriller or a horror. Well, maybe it was a thriller.
Wasn't a horror. It wasn't a horror movie.
I know. I don't know what my damage is. Ever feel like life's stress gets to be too much? Welcome to Mitra Gaia, your natural wellness partner. We are the number one rated provider of Kratom, a 100% natural plant-based solution used in Asia for centuries to help increase focus, energy, and relaxation. Want to know more? Use the code YHPOD to get 10% off your first order today. That's mitragaya.com and code YHPOD for 10% off. All right, so anyway, not segueing gracefully, but let's talk about what we're talking about today. I've written about CBD being considered snake oil by people who aren't embracing it. I've written about this topic a few times, and it just keeps recirculating, and a lot of that is because there are some not so great products out there, and it makes it really difficult for people like us who want to shout from the rooftops about how awesome CBD can be to convince people who are very skeptical about it.
Yes, very much so, especially because it's sad that it's become so accessible, but because of that accessibility, it's impossible to know if you're getting something legitimate. When something reaches the accessibility point that you can purchase it at a gas station, you have to start questioning, wait a minute, you know, this is sitting next to a bunch of killer bees, you know, caffeine pills and all this other wild concoctions that are just shoved together. Let's not forget the period of time where spice was easily accessible in gas stations. To anyone that doesn't know, spice was a chemically produced
kratom.
Well, no, cannabis.
Oh, that's right.
It was a faux cannabis. It was supposed to get the same
high. I've also written about that, and I forgot
and
about
it
already.
It was incredibly dangerous. I mean, it's made with, like, gasoline and other chemicals.
Were people doing the same thing with kratom, too?
Kratom is just a very high extraction that they can pull from it. But yet again, because of the accessibility, there was a lot of kratom that was on the market that wasn't good. Or natural, or pure, or even kratom.
Well, still, even now, I mean, it's getting a lot better because there's legislation happening for that. But you can still get some not so great kratom from.
If you're getting it from a gas station, it's probably not going to be very good, you know.
And or even one of those like
head shops,
quote unquote smoke shops.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you call them anymore because sometimes you'll just see them in grocery stores. For instance, okay, so there was recently a post by James Kennedy, not that one, Bravoholics, okay, we're not talking about that James Kennedy. So this post from James Kennedy, who is, I guess, involved in brand strategy, I don't know him personally, so this is just, I'm just grabbing things from his post. And wanted to give him credit for it because it's a very thoughtful post about how he walked into Wegmans CBD section and all the yellow tags. I mean, the picture that accompanies this post says a lot. It's well over 100 CBD products in this Wegmans grocery aisle, and almost all of them have yellow tags on them being marked as 50% off because they're discontinued. And so that just kind of illustrates the point that this market is oversaturated and there are a lot of false products out there. I don't want to say false profits, but you know.
But we have to, because a lot of times, us, for example, when we first came into this industry, we came in eyes wide thinking everyone was in this industry for very altruistic reasons. You know, but you have to realize that there's going to be a lot of bad players in there, especially when we're living in end-stage capitalism. So with that, there's going to be people basically just producing whatever they want to produce just to kind of collect that money. They're not going to go and do a proper R&D. They're not going to get, you know, pure strains of actual hemp that aren't like just filled with toxins and pesticides to extract their CBD from. They're just going to grab whatever they can to make a quick buck and sometimes even escalate the price to make it seem like it's got to be really good if it's going to be this much money. And they're doing this all knowing that it's what people are naturally going to go for, because especially in states where it's medical only, there's a lot of times with a lot of states where someone's medical ailment isn't actually covered under the program, so they can't get their medical card. Or there's some people that just don't want to be put on a list or whatnot. So these people are going to be trying to find something that's easily accessible and over the counter that they don't need to go to a doctor and get a recommendation for. So they're going to go to CBD, and they're just going to buy what they see available to them. And oftentimes it can actually turn them away from the plant entirely, because they could either have no reaction at all or possibly even a bad reaction. It's completely unregulated, so there's really no telling what is actually inside the bottle that they're consuming.
Right. When I wrote about it, I was surprised to find how many products were being tested without any CBD in them. And so James Kennedy points out in his post, I just want to talk about a little bit what he says here, because you just touched on it a little bit, the fact that the products aren't working. And sometimes that doesn't mean that the CBD isn't in the product. Sometimes it means that it's underdosed, okay, like 5 milligram to 10 milligram per serving. So I've had this experience where I try to get someone to try CBD and I say, look, this can really help with your pain or whatever ailment it may be, but they don't feel anything because the dosage is too minimal for them to even have the effect. And also the taste. A lot of these products taste funky, which I did not realize. I always thought that was like something you had to deal with when you had CBD products. Like in the beginning when I started taking it, I thought, well, yeah, it's going to taste a little funky. But what I found out was that if it does taste funky, then you should not be consuming it. If it smells funky, you should not be consuming it. And I know that, you know, it can have a little bit of a smell, like an herbaceous smell, even if it is a quality product, but that smell should dissipate after a few minutes. It shouldn't hang, you know, and it shouldn't be so much that it shouldn't be so pronounced that you take some oil and you're like, like that should not be happening.
No, it's natural, but it's not supposed to be horrendous. You know, it's not supposed to have like almost like that spoiled quality to it, where it's like almost has like that bitter lasting, you know, taste inside your mouth. It should be, you know, much like anything that's natural that doesn't necessarily taste good. Kava, for example, it's just top of my head because I just had some, has a very earthy dirt taste to it, but that taste is very quickly flushed from your mouth and from your taste buds, you know, just by drinking anything afterwards. But if you're consuming some, and same with CBD as it should, if you're consuming something and that taste is just lingering in your mouth like a film, that's something that is not supposed to be happening when you're consuming.
Yes. And also, the packaging matters. Yeah. If you're buying something that is in a clear glass and it's on some type of shelf where there is a lot of light exposure, then chances are the product is no longer good to consume or safe to consume. Also, look at the other ingredients that are being listed. Are they there for some type of entourage effect? Or is it something else that could pretty much minimize the effect or actually just give you no effect at all, right? Because sometimes there are other ingredients in there that might not work with what you're already taking. So make sure that you're paying attention to that. But one of the biggest things is to pay attention to the certificate of analysis, which should be easily discoverable. And I don't mean like a teeny tiny QR code somewhere, someplace that is not scannable. I mean, like, we should be able to access that COA quickly. And it should be a third-party COA, not in-house.
Yeah, you know, do research. Do research on labs. I'm not saying that labs are out there not being right, but I'm just saying...
Not being right?
I'm just saying, do your homework. You know, labs are run by people just like any other company. You know, just do your homework on what people are saying about these labs before you just automatically trust them. But absolutely pull up the COA before you purchase the product.
And that can seem like a lot of work just to get some products to make you feel better, which is one of the reasons why Delta 8 is so popular right now.
Well, the thing is, and it's so messed up because like Maryland's medical program, you know, for people that actually want to consume things that are rich in CBD because it's more beneficial for them, it's almost impossible to find anything. So people, even still with medical cards, are having to find themselves purchase unregulated CBD because there's certain things that CBD does that THC doesn't. And while some people are disappointed by CBD because it doesn't give them any kind of psychoactive effect, there's some people out there that do not want that psychoactive effect. And also some people just carry CBD because it can help bring them down. Fun fact, if you ever find yourself getting too elevated and in a state of anxiety or panic or whatnot, or just feeling uncomfortable, if you consume just CBD, it will help counteract those psychoactive effects and help bring you down. So some people want to have CBD on hand just for that. And because, you know, we've now reached this point where we are adult use, so a lot of companies are pulling back on CBD products because they're more costly to produce. They're not as popular. People aren't going to come in and throw money on it, especially a lot of people start number chasing and they want things that are highest in THC, and that's all they care about. So companies are responding by putting all their money into those products, pulling back from CBD. People with legitimate cards now have to go and buy unregulated hemp-derived CBD. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's become incredibly successful or accessible on one end, you know, for the hemp-derived CBD aspect, and completely unaccessible when it comes to cannabis-derived and cannabinoid-derived CBD products. So because of that, you know, we really need to make sure we're doing our research, because this is where companies are just going to start throwing anything out.
Yes.
So it may seem like a lot, but you have to think, if it is this accessible, you really need to do your research before you're buying it. You know, before I buy anything off of Amazon, I read all the reviews, you know, and that's not something I'm going to be putting inside my body every single day. You know, if you're right. going to be using this to help yourself on a therapeutic level, you really need to do your research.
Especially about the application method, because I cannot tell you how many times I've had people who sell CBD oil say, oh, it can do X, Y, and Z. Well, it's not topical, so it's not actually addressing nerve pain the same way something that is topical or transdermal is actually formulated, so that it breaks the blood-skin barrier in a certain... Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
And so it actually like enters whatever part of your body it needs to in that specific way. And that is really important, because a lot of these smaller businesses put a lot of time and effort into figuring out the formulation of these products. And they think about the application, meaning, is it going to be on top of you? Is it going to be something you rub onto you? Is it going to be something that you ingest? Is it something that you drink? Because your body processes all of that differently. So if someone's saying, hey, you know what, this oil can do it all, then no, it cannot. I'm sorry, it cannot.
No. And when it comes to doing your research, I mean, this is going for your pets too. There's a lot of CBD-derived pet products out there, which mm-hmm. are great mm-hmm. because dogs can't consume THC. It's poisonous to them. It will kill them, you know? So if you have a dog that has a lot of anxiety, you know, separation anxiety and stuff like that, medicating them with CBD is amazing. And there's a lot of really fantastic hemp-derived CBD products out there on the market. You just need to make sure that one you're getting is one that you wouldn't mind consuming as well. You know, make sure that the ingredients are healthy and something that your dog can actually digest and consume. And don't just grab whatever you see on the shelves, because just because it's on the shelves and you can buy it doesn't mean that it should be on the shelves and you should buy it.
I think that's a good place to end it.
I think so.
There's a lot more to say on the topic, and we probably will, so stay tuned for that. And also, stay tuned for a closer look into the Massachusetts cannabis scene with deep friend of the pod, Laura Beener of The Healing Rose. So, we are joined today by Laura Beener of The Healing Rose. How are you doing today, Laura?
Oh, I am so good. I'm so glad to be here with you today. Thanks for having me.
I'm always glad to have you here, as you know. So, Laura, let's start by taking a snapshot of the Massachusetts cannabis scene. What is the current attitude among consumers and business owners? I know that could probably be two separate answers, but...
Yeah, I will break that into two parts. I can start with the business side of things. So it's a quickly changing market over here. So I will say that it's like following the trajectory of California, Colorado, Oregon, right? Where there's more players in the space, the barriers to entry get lower. There's more product. There's also more competition to try to move that product. So the prices go down. So for retailers, I'd say there's a range of attitudes. It really depends where you are in the state. I think it's like over half of municipalities opted out of cannabis originally when we passed recreational. So there's like pockets. Well, there'll be like 20 dispensaries within like 20 square miles. And then you can go 45 minutes and really not find one. Mm-hmm. So like, it really depends where you are and like what kind of dispensary you're operating. They're doing a lot more like, you know, promotions, discounts. They're able to, like I said, lower prices. And that's also, you know, there's delivery now. So that's another option that's competing with people. So delivery operators are able to, you know, deliver it to your house. They're also offering discounts and deals and things like that. So there's just like overall much more competition. And that goes for cultivators as well. Cultivators, of course, as always, and all farmers, right, they get squeezed, unfortunately. So like their costs for inputs and to grow aren't going down, because Massachusetts is incredibly expensive for electricity.
Everything.
For operating. Yeah, for everything. You have 280E, and they're like struggling to figure out how to make, you know, good money off growing the plant.
So do you want to talk about 280E? Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there, but let's...
Yeah, oh no, that's
for people
better,
who don't know.
Throw it out there. Yeah, so 280E makes it so that cannabis businesses are not allowed to have any tax write-offs. So they pay taxes on that top number. So they have $1 million in revenue. That's the number they pay their taxes on. They don't pay their taxes on, you know, minus expenses, minus this, minus that, that bottom number. They're paying it at that top number. So it really hurts profits. And that drives up prices. That reduces, you know, wages that can go around too, and benefits and things like that. So hopefully that will change at the federal level, because that's a federal thing. So that means, hey, the government saying, you're a legal business, we'll, I guess, let you operate, we can't do much, but we'll take all your money. So it's pretty much like makes it so it's like a lot of people are holding out, hoping for better days, waiting for 280E to clear, so they can really see those profits. So it's a lot of people like holding on.
Holding on to hope.
Obviously. Yes, exactly. And then like on the brand and manufacturer side, we have a lot of great craft brands that are like, you know, the top players in the game. I'm sure they're doing great. But then on the same side of things, there's a ton of new brands coming in. There's new manufacturers opening up. That's bringing in new products. And then it makes it hard to figure out, like, as buyers, am I going to add new products? Do I want to see, like, what's always just cycling in new brands? Or do I want to stick with the regulars? There's only so much vault space, only so much menu space, all that stuff. So it's just creating a lot more competition, I'd say, for sure. And again, that leads to lower prices that they can charge, lower profit margins. So it just makes it, you know, being lean operation, being smart, running it as any other business that you're operating, are the people that are going to be, sustainable long-term. And then on the consumer side of things, I think it's mostly a positive, right? The increased competition, lower prices, more promotions. Consumers are shopping more promotions now, so they're hopping dispensaries. You know, I go here on Tuesdays, they have half off pre-rolls. That's where I get my pre-rolls, all that stuff that consumers are really starting to get locked into those type of buying scenarios, which is awesome. And then I think personally in Massachusetts, more than any other state, what you're seeing are minor cannabinoids in everything. So sure, there's THC and things, and most of them have CBD. But now you're seeing CBN, THCV, CBC, a lot of those in the products. And that's in part a lot of it because hemp cannabinoids can be used by manufacturers. So that was a bill that was passed about almost 3 years ago by Hemp Coalition and then other hemp activists that allowed for bulk extracts to go from hemp farms into cannabis products because they're the same molecule. So it's just creating like really cool products. There's products for focus, more for pain, more for sleep, for energy. So it's just, instead of just being like, hey, this is a sativa edible or this is an indica edible, you barely see that in Massachusetts anymore. Like consumers are like, that's pretty much BS. Like it, you can't, you know, have some ghost train haze and then you're making it into cookies and all of a sudden I'm going to feel energy. Just like the science behind it doesn't really add up. The terpenes aren't really like processed that way by the liver. That's going to create like a euphoric effect. But if you're bringing in other cannabinoids, you're eating terpenes, I guess. You're not baking it. There's debate there. But by different ratios of these cannabinoids, it's just creating a whole new experience for consumers. So I think it's an exciting time to be a Massachusetts cannabis consumer, I'd say.
Nice. I bet they probably have some pretty quality products to choose from. I mean, obviously you touched on it a little bit, how much has changed in the last few years, but what have you seen since you began your business? Like, what is the general shift in attitude or acceptance or anything like that? Like, what is the biggest change you've seen?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, obviously we're on the hemp side of things, but we do sell into cannabis dispensaries. We're in about close to 100.
Nice.
In Massachusetts. Yeah, yeah. So a lot of, some of them just have lip balms and things like that. So it's nothing like.
So you're allowed to sell that inside cannabis dispensaries there. Oh, cool.
Yeah, exactly. So that is exclusive to Massachusetts hemp companies. So that's just a really awesome thing we had gotten just state law that literally changed the game for us. So I am able to like, you know, excuse me, like see how that is. But like, I'll say we started at, especially the recreational side of things, it was just so expensive. And like, I didn't understand how people were paying like over $500 with tax for an ounce of weed. I was like, who besides rich older people
yeah,
are buying that? Like when it was on the, you know, legacy market for $150, $200. So there was a huge discrepancy in the legacy pricing in the legal market several years ago. Now that gap is slowly closing. And so then on that side of things, where there used to be a lot of underground seshes and things like that, those are getting smaller and smaller. Less money is going to that market. And it went, a once very well connected legacy sesh scene is much more segregated, like divided and small. So that's a big thing I've noticed is the legacy market.
Are you allowed to consume in public in Massachusetts, like at an event?
Yeah, so you can, like, private grounds, or if there's, you can smoke cigarettes there, you can smoke cannabis, but you there is a, like, citation you can receive. I think that actually might be for anyone. You could technically receive a citation unless you're a medical patient. I'm a medical patient, so sometimes I forget the rules for everyone.
I just wonder
like,
because...
I'm gonna smoke anywhere.
Yeah, I just remember they were really strict in Boston about smoking cigarettes in bars the last time I was there. So I was just wondering, like, if that's, you know...
We're super inside for sure. But if there's a bunch of private clubs now that are popping up, there's one in Worcester, the Summit Lounge, that's been there for years. They have ventilation systems. Everyone goes there and smokes dabs. It's really cool. And then there's like a place that's just north of Boston now that's holding all these private events with like 300-400 people. Everyone's smoking.
Wow.
Because it's like a privately owned and they're like renting it out to have like a smoke club, I guess.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. It's really cool. All the dispensaries are renting it out for their brand launches. And it's pretty cool to see that too. A lot of people are having fun.
That sounds like fun. So what do you wish people outside of Massachusetts could understand about the cannabis industry there?
Yeah. So I will say that we have a huge focus on organic ingredients amongst the craft brands. So brands like Coast, obviously the Healing Rose, there's just a lot of people looking at the ingredients, understanding what they're putting in their bodies. There's a brand Levia, they're like huge drink company and they're like, you know, zero calorie seltzer that people love. So people are very health conscious. So yeah, I would just say that like you can expect to see like great branding and packaging on the shelves here. The dispensaries are immaculate. A lot of them look like an art gallery when you walk in. It's just like a whole experience. So as like a tourist coming to the state, I highly recommend like cannabis tourism to our state. It's wonderful. And prices, like I said, are going down. So that's definitely more affordable. And I will say, you know, I know we're talking about masks, but Maine is right north of us too. And they have the best cannabis in the whole country, in my opinion. So there's a lot of genetics shared amongst like the New England states.
That's the best I ever had.
Special place for cannabis. Yeah.
The best 100%. I ever had, probably the highest I ever got, was in Maine. And I'm from there, so maybe I'm a little bit biased, but
love it.
So what are your hopes for the future of the cannabis space in Massachusetts?
Yeah, so I hope that we're able to promote craft cultivation, because with those lowering prices and margins and things like that, we discourage organic craft grows that use regenerative practices because those are less cost effective and the yields aren't as good. So like if you're in a purely money game and you're just trying to crank out those type of products, I worry about the lack of like really high quality products in the future, because if the brands that are trying to do things right, they're dealing with 280E. You're in a state where like the average home costs $700,000 or whatever. Like Massachusetts is just so expensive. Food
so
prices,
expensive.
Everything. It's just like it all adds up. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the small businesses are going to have trouble staying around, is my worry. Unless we do something that specifically gives some kind of balancing leverage or something. I know they're looking into like, they are launching a program for 0% social equity loans in Massachusetts. So they're going to use tax dollars from cannabis and loan it back to social equity companies. So I think that's amazing, a 0% interest rate. So things like that, I think, will make a difference. There are people who really feel passionately about it. We have an amazing like network of activists, and then also who are a lot of lawyers who are activists. So we have people who are actually doing things instead of just like
talking
complaining
about it
online or doing like little petitions. No, they're at the state house. They're writing the laws. They're like, you need to pass this right now.
Including you.
You know,
you do a lot of it.
I do my own little part, but we have like people like Shailene Title, who's running the Parabola Center. It's like a national think tank, which I support. We're a partner of. So I do my part to support, but there are people just like I'm like all day, every day thinking about like, what is going on, or looking into like, hey, this person's actions are totally nefarious. And I love it about Massachusetts. People are so proactive. They get stuff done.
There's a lot of drama.
Oh my God. We could get into that like a whole podcast. This is crazy. The CCC level. Have you seen that?
Yes. Every time I go on, whatever you want to call it now, X, you know, I always see a new Twitter thread about the drama that's going on in Massachusetts.
There is some drama. Like you said, we are well connected, so the drama leaks out quick and it spreads fast.
But that's good, because consumers need to know, right? And as do the people who want to enter the industry, they need to know what's going on. So I think that's good. I'm here for it. So
yeah, I mean, every new industry has those players that come in, those bad actors try to take advantage of new industries. You got to let people know. You got to like scream it out loud. If there's scumbags, people ripping people off. That was a problem in Massachusetts for a while, is people not paying bills, invoices going like 6-7 months without getting paid. And then people started like compiling like anonymous ways to submit like people's old invoices. And then I think people started getting a little bit more smart about it. Like, I don't want to get put on blast. Like, should we pay that like 7 month old invoice? Yeah, let's pay that. You know, so.
So we need that in every state.
Yeah, call them out.
Yes, exactly. Well, one bad player that doesn't exist is you, because you're not a bad player. Oh. Though I was trying to segue it more into the quality products, but we started talking about other things.
Yeah.
So before we end, tell us about the Healing Rose and how we can support you.
Sure. So the Healing Rose, we were founded in 2016, so 7 years ago. We are an organic cannabinoid manufacturer of wellness products like salves, tinctures, extracts, suppositories, bath soaks, lip balms, and more. And we are available online at thehealingrose.co. And we make everything ourselves right here in Newburyport. We're certified organic. We have an all-female production team. We make things with so much love. And we are always available to talk to people through like what you'd need. There's a live chat or you can reach out to us. I'm always happy to talk to someone about what would work best for you.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. And I appreciate what you're doing, truly.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay high and beautiful. This episode was produced by Your Highness Media. Audio editing by J.R. Crash. Intro music by Your Mom Likes My Music. Subscribe to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter, for the latest announcements and event updates.